How do I know when to capitalize something and when to just expense something? This podcast, Boosting Your Financial IQ, is about business financial literacy, strategies for profitability, and the principles taught at BYFIQ.com. My hope is that you will apply the lessons learned and that we can work together soon in my mastery program. Enjoy the show and don't forget to subscribe. I'm going to prep you for a conversation we're going to be having in a couple episodes about free cash flow. But in order to do so, we need to talk about CapEx. Now, CapEx, not to be confused with OpEx, which stands for operating expenses on the income statement, CapEx represents capital expenditures, the funds a company uses to acquire, upgrade, and maintain physical assets such as property, plant, equipment, and technology. All right, so the reason why this is important because on the income statement, you will not find CapEx. In fact, oftentimes when I'm interviewing people for FinOps positions, even CFOs and controllers, I will ask them, where do you find CapEx on the financial statements? And most of the time, they get it wrong. So if you're listening to this, good news for you, because if I were ever to interview you, you would nail this question, because CapEx is found on the statement of cash flows. It's not on the income statement. There's no line item on the balance sheet. Sure, you can figure it out on the balance sheet by taking the changes period over period with property, plant, and equipment. There are some other add backs and other considerations that you have to include, such as the gain or loss on a sale of a piece of equipment and the associated depreciation. It gets a little complicated there. I'm not going to take you down that path, but just know that capital expenditures is on the statement of cash flows. Remember, there are three sections on the statement of cash flows. First, operating. Second, investing. And third, financing. You're going to find CapEx under investing. Congratulations. If you were already thinking that, you are one step ahead here. So let's dive in, because this is a really, really important topic. It can be confusing for people, but it doesn't have to be confusing. When I'm working with business leaders and we're building out financial forecast, we start with the income statement. But as I've shared in other episodes, getting down to profit, sure, it's helpful to understand what the profitability forecast looks like into the future, but it's incomplete because it doesn't tell a company how much cash flow they will have. But in order to get to cash flow, you have to go from profit, account for working capital, take out CapEx, and then you arrive at free cash flow. Okay, I'm simplifying things right now. Like I said, in a couple episodes, we're going to dive deep into the world of free cash flow, but I'm just prepping you today with CapEx. So when we talk about free cash flow and I touch on CapEx, you're not like, what the heck is he talking about? That's the reason why I'm doing this episode. All right, so essentially CapEx, like I said, capital expenditures, if you want the long version, CapEx, if you want to sound cool and nerdy like me, I don't know if it's really cool and nerdy, but yeah, it's just fun to say, I guess. All right, so CapEx is when you go out and you buy property, plant, or equipment for your business. So think about it. Let's say I go buy a truck for my business and I have a plumbing company and the truck is $50,000. Well, I can't just expense that and record that on the income statement, because otherwise it's going to skew my profit for the year. And remember, a truck is going to provide future economic benefits for the business. So if I just record it all in 1 year, I take that entire expense. Well, in year two, I'm going to show all this profit, but I'm not accounting for the expense that I'm incurring by driving this truck around in the business. Therefore, you have to capitalize assets and record them on the balance sheet as an asset, and then you depreciate them over their useful life. Now, I'm going to repeat myself a few times to make sure that you really understand this concept, so I apologize in advance. I'll say it in different ways so it really resonates with you. So let's go back to this truck example. I buy it for $50,000. And let's just say after 5 years, it's going to have a zero salvage value, to keep things simple. And therefore, it will have a useful life of 5 years. I'm just making this up. It could be whatever, but let's just say I use 5 years for my vehicles. That means I take $50,000 divided by 5 years, the useful life, and every year I'm going to record an expense of $10,000 on the income statement. This expense is called depreciation. Now, if it's an intangible asset, such as patents, copyrights, trademarks, trade secrets, customer relationships, software, etc., then I'm going to amortize those assets in the same way that I do with tangible assets. So you depreciate tangible assets, you amortize intangible assets. So don't let that confuse you as well. It's really simple if you just stick to that basic understanding there. All right, so I buy this truck for $50,000. I record it on the balance sheet as an asset. If you want to know the technical way to do this, I would literally do a journal entry and debit this fixed asset, this truck, at $50,000. If I paid cash for the truck, then I would credit cash. But if I financed it, like most people do, then I would record a liability to offset the transaction of $50,000. So the journal entry, like I said, debit to fixed asset to record the truck, and then credit to cash or credit a liability account or some combination thereof. Maybe use a little bit of cash and the rest is debt. You would credit cash for that portion of the down payment, and then you would credit the remaining balance to create this liability. And then each year when I'm depreciating this truck, I'm going to debit the expense account, depreciation expense, and then I'm going to credit accumulated depreciation, which is right underneath the fixed asset section on the balance sheet. So that's how the mechanics work from a balance sheet and journal entry perspective. All right, so that $10,000 in depreciation expense gets carried over. It hits the income statement for these capital expenditures. All right, so the thing I want to drive home is that when you buy a piece of equipment, it's capitalized. That's just another way of saying you're recording an asset on the balance sheet, and then you're depreciating it each year over its useful life, and you're recording a portion of that expense on the income statement, not all at once. Now, the next question people often have is, how do I know when to capitalize something and when to just expense something? So let's say I go buy a printer for my computer, and the printer is $750. Do I capitalize that because it's going to provide future benefits, or do I just record it as an expense? Now, there is a threshold you can set in your company. So if you purchase something and it falls below that threshold, you would just expense it. But if it meets that threshold or exceeds the threshold, you would capitalize it. So you may wonder, okay, how much is that threshold? According to the IRS notice 2015-82, it states that this threshold ranges from $2,500 to $5,000 per invoice or item. Now, as your business, you may choose to set a higher or lower threshold for your capital expenditure policy. Now, it's all up to you. Some organizations that I work with, they set the threshold at $1,000. Sometimes they set it at, you know, the top $5,000 and everywhere in between. What are the pros and cons of each? In other words, you set your threshold at $1,000. This will cause some expenditures to be capitalized as assets when they typically would be charged as expenses. So as a result, your short-term profits will look higher. However, this means you will have larger depreciation expenses down the line because eventually the assets will be charged to expenses. But keep in mind, you will have a larger fixed asset register. This means you'll be charged more personal property taxes, possibly for years to come. You're also likely to see more cash going out in the form of taxes than if you set a higher limit. Now, what are the pros and cons with a high cap limit? If you set your cap limit on the higher end, such as $5,000, this means that some of your expensive purchases will be charged as expenses for the period in which they were purchased. Although you will save your accounting staff some work, the added expenses will be reflected as large differences in month-to-month profits and not accurately depict your balance sheet. So remember that setting your limit high will mean you have fewer reportable assets. This looks suspicious and could trigger an audit by the IRS, which can be time-consuming and costly for your business. So there are definitely pros and cons. If you just want to play it safe, go in the middle and just set your threshold at $2,500. A lot of businesses do this. I think it's a nice, easy number to remember, $2,500. In other words, if you go make a purchase and a single item or an invoice equals $2,500 and it has a useful life greater than 1 year, that's really important, then you would capitalize it. So going back to the printer example, let's say we set our threshold at $2,500. If I go buy one printer and it's $750, I would just record it as an expense, probably under a category such as office and IT, and operating expenses on the income statement. Okay, so I just expense it right away. And even if it lasts greater than 1 year, I don't really care because it's immaterial and I'll just record it all in that given year. Now, what if I go buy a group of printers? Let's say I buy four printers for $750 a piece or $3,000 in total for different functions within my business. I may decide to capitalize this group of printers. I can just record it as one group of assets on the balance sheet, and that's another way to do it. I was working with a landscape company years ago, and they would buy a bunch of blowers, like backpack blowers and sprayers and other pieces of equipment that were pretty small in nature. But when they made these purchases all together, the invoices were oftentimes $5,000, $10,000. So they would capitalize these entire invoices. That's just another way to think about your thresholds when you're acquiring, upgrading, and maintaining physical assets such as property, plant, equipment, and technology. All right, now let's talk about technology for a minute. As a CFO of a fintech company, this came up oftentimes with my accounting team, whether we should expense or capitalize software development. Obviously, as a fintech, we were developing a lot of software. So let me provide you with a little bit of guidance here. Now, if you want me to get really nerdy, according to generally accepted accounting principles, GAAP, specifically the Financial Accounting Standards Board, which is known as FASB, F-A-S-B, if you ever see that on a piece of paper, these are the accounting standards that guide financial reporting. Now, specifically, according to FASB, Accounting Standards Codification, ASC Topic 350, I know I told you I was going to get really nerdy, costs incurred in developing software for internal use are typically capitalized under certain conditions. So let me walk you through these conditions. In other words, when you're incurring costs upfront to figure out whether or not the software is even feasible to pursue, such costs are going to be expensed. Said another way, this stage includes preliminary project activities, such as determining the technological feasibility and assessing market demand. So when you're performing these activities, you're just going to expense the cost, record it on the income statement. Now, when you move into the development stage and you establish the feasibility of the software project, the costs directly associated with developing or obtaining internal use software are then capitalized. Such costs may include external direct cost of materials and services consumed in developing or obtaining internal use software, payroll and payroll related costs for employees who are directly associated with the software development project, and cost of resources that are directly associated with and necessary for the project, such as depreciation of hardware used in the development process. Now, remember we talked about tangible and intangible assets. Capitalized software costs are amortized, not depreciated, they're amortized because they're intangible, over the software's estimated useful life, typically on a straight line basis. The amortization period should not exceed the software's economic life, which is determined by factors such as expected technological changes and the business use case. But here's the caveat. It's important to note that costs related to software development for sale to customers, in other words, software intended to be sold, leased, or otherwise marketed as a separate product, are accounted for differently. Such costs are typically capitalized as inventory or expensed as incurred, depending on the stage of development and the specific circumstances. Therefore, you have to be aware of the nuances as it pertains to software and software development. But that's what I wanted to teach you today and talk about as it relates to CapEx. So you are ready, like I said, for the free cash flow conversation. Remember, capital expenditures are funds a company uses to acquire, upgrade, and maintain physical assets such as property, plant, equipment, and technology. Companies can set a threshold. The IRS recommends a range between $2,500 and $5,000, but it's really up to the company. We talked about the pros and cons of setting the threshold too low and too high. So just choose the best threshold for your company. But just keep in mind, you can't be changing the threshold year over year. Like 1 year, you're like, hey, we're going to use 1,000. Next year, we're going to be 2,500. Then we're going to go back to 1,000. Whatever is recorded on your books is going to be the same threshold that is recorded on your taxes. So you have to have some consistency there. And then what I would recommend is having a capitalization policy for your organization. Also remember that these purchases should have a useful life greater than 1 year in combination with meeting that threshold target that you set for your company. We also talked about depreciation and amortization. You depreciate tangible assets or tangible CapEx, and you amortize intangible assets or CapEx. All right, so that's how it all works. And finally, let's talk about the impact as it relates to the financial statements. Remember, CapEx is found on the statement of cash flows under investing activities. You do not record all of the expense upfront on the income statement. Instead, you record it on the balance sheet as an asset. You also have to record the associated cash that was used as a down payment or the debt that you used to make this purchase. And then you depreciate or amortize this asset over its useful life, and that expense hits the income statement, and that's how it all flows together. All right, that's all I have for you today. Wasn't it so fun talking about CapEx? Now you have another word in your arsenal as you go out there and you talk about finance with your friends and your buddies or your colleagues at work, and you're that much closer to getting into our conversation about free cash flow, which is really the crux of every business. All right, I'll see you next time. Take care. Cheers. Hey, real quick, if you get value out of this podcast, it would mean the world to me if you would leave us a review. Also, if you want to be featured on the show, send me a recording with your name, your age, where you're from, and your question through a voice note or a video using your smartphone. Then email me the file at hello@byfiq.com. BYFIQ stands for Boosting Your Financial IQ. So once again, it's hello@byfiq.com. If selected, I'll give you a shout out and answer your question for you and the entire community. One last thing, if you want access to additional resources that will help you fast track your path to financial freedom, visit byfiq.com or download our free app in the Apple or Google Play App Store today. Thanks again.